Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi-mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Gene Fodor!
Gene, was good.
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff from the Science Lab from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey guys, and welcome to the podcast. This is Allison, the science editor at HowStuffWorks.com.
And this is Robert Lamb, science writer for HowStuffWorks.com.
Today we'll be talking about if you live next door to a grow house, some signs that you might or might not.
Yes, of course, so right off the bat, the first thing, what is a grow house? We're, of course, talking about a marijuana grow house, and this is exactly what it sounds like. It is a marijuana growing operation that has been taken indoors. Because if there's a wall up, then people driving by aren't necessarily going to be able to see all those plants growing. If a helicopter flies over, they're just going to see your roof. You know, anytime you're growing a high-priced illegal crop like this, it's inevitably end up growing indoors. Also, in an indoor environment, these guys can have more control over exactly what goes into their crop in terms of light, CO2,
nutrients,
temperature,
etc. Whatever the plant needs, essentially.
Right. It can basically be a like a spaceship for plants.
Right. Hey, before we go any farther, of course you guys know that growing pot in the United States and many other places is illegal. So you'll want to contact authorities if you suspect anything going on in your neighborhood.
Right. And
related
we're not,
to a grow house.
Yeah, and we're not telling you to go snoop around your neighbors either. For just normal reasons, that's probably not a good neighborly thing to do. And if you suspect that that somebody in your neighborhood is up to some sort of big illegal operation, then obviously you want to turn to the authorities and not go snooping around yourself.
Although it is sort of fun to be Scooby-Doo.
It's fun to think.
Yeah, fun to think about. Fun to watch those episodes. Just don't enact it in real life.
Right.
And then, of course, nobody at HowStuffWorks or Discovery or Robert or I even, we're not advocating anything to do with marijuana. So now that we got that out of the way, let's keep going with this grow house stuff.
Yeah, because the science behind grow houses is actually pretty interesting. We have a whole article on how grow houses work at HowStuffWorks.com.
There's a huge market for it, for one. I mean, there's a huge marijuana market in the United States. I don't think we're telling you guys anything that you don't know. I came across this one stat, this guy named John Getman over at drugscience.org. He's the former president and the director of the lobbying type of organization for reforming marijuana laws in the states. Anyway, Getman says that marijuana is the largest U.S. cash crop, about $35.8 billion production value in 2006. So that's talking like way past corn, way past soybeans, way past wheat, sugar beets, all the obvious contenders. And then, of course, there's, you know, a lot of people like to smoke marijuana.
Yeah, you have a built-in market there for it. And just depending on the going market rate, just one marijuana plant can produce like $1,000 worth in the form of like a half pound of
marijuana. We know we're going to get some readers who are going to argue with that and say it's lower,
yeah,
it's higher.
Yeah, I mean, it fluctuates.
It definitely does fluctuate depending on the quality and all
so
that sort of stuff.
For many people, yeah, that money is irresistible.
Yeah, no doubt.
And so these grow houses pop up all over the place. And we're talking...
And it doesn't even have to be a grow house, actually.
Right. It can be a barn. It can be a condominium in a high rise. I mean, we encounter these everywhere.
And say you don't want to devote your whole home to the growing of marijuana.
Right.
You can have a little grow cabinet, apparently, that you can buy. I saw one online that was on sale for $2,400. Strictly a hydroponic operation. And... you have this little cabinet that you grow your pot in, and then you can also have grow rooms.
Or herbs for cooking.
Right, or herbs for cooking. Of course, that's what they were after. And grow houses are all over the place, really. U.S., Canada, which is most of the research we've done. I mean, there are good neighborhoods, there are bad neighborhoods. They're ubiquitous.
Yeah, and these are some illuminating stats here, just to give you an idea of how widespread these are. According to Los Angeles Times... In the Humboldt
County,
in
of
the
course.
Humboldt County area of California, they estimate that up to 1,000 of the 7,500 homes in the community are grow house operations.
Holy cow! That's
yeah.
A lot.
Now this is an area where marijuana enjoys limited legal protection. A lot of it's grown for medicinal use.
Depending if you talk to state or federal authorities, of
exactly.
Course.
And then according to Cannabis Culture in Vancouver, Canada, the estimate runs as high as 1 out of every 5 homes.
So 20% of homes
are
grow operations. That's pretty significant. And then the other interesting factor that I've heard about is we all know that the housing market is a mess. You know, rising foreclosure rates, mm-hmm. rental property is really cheap. So it's a buyer's market.
And more a grower's market.
Yeah. It's a grower's market. So it's not hard to get property that's secluded enough to hide all the, you know, equipment that you're going to need for a grow operation. And then if you do go with a rental property, I mean, you may have a property, a landlord who's more of an absentee type and doesn't come and check in. But we were talking about this before, and it seems like the obvious thing to do would be to buy a property.
Yeah, it just seems like if you're going to invest all this money in an illegal operation like this, you're not going to want the landlord potentially dropping by to, you know, to check on the water heater or something.
Right. I mean, it's not just, you know, getting some soil and, you know, sticking a marijuana plant in a pot. I mean, we're talking thousands and thousands of dollars. And depending on the scale of operation, that could even go into the hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
So, again, we could see this more being a homeowner rather than a rental type of person. And the other thing is they're not always residential. This is one of my favorite things. Florida, which seems to have a ton of grow house news stories. I don't know if they're cracking down there, if all those orange growers are getting mad about, you know, marijuana being the big cash crop. But they found a grow house in the Mall of Americas.
Wow.
Not to be confused with that big old mall in Minnesota that has a similar name.
Like right next to like the Orange Julius place? And
well, it was in a storage room, and they found some huge plants, like 3 to 6 feet high.
Wow.
But they didn't find who was running said grow house.
At the mall.
It's
nothing sacred.
I guess not. So that's kind of the rundown on grow houses. And whatever your thoughts about pot legalization, you still probably don't want to live next door to one.
Right. Yeah, it goes beyond whatever your personal issues may be regarding the growing, sale, or use of marijuana, because most of these are illegal operations, and as such,
they tend to be illegal operations.
Manned by criminals. So
what do criminals have? Sometimes they have scary dogs and guns.
And guns.
And sometimes criminals get into fights with other criminals.
And shoot each other, right?
Right.
There have been cases of that. It's going to be a basic illegal element to it, and they're going to be criminals about. And they're not only going to, with their guns and their dogs, they're not just going to be protecting that crop from the police or whatnot. They're going to be concerned with other criminals.
Right.
Because this is essentially a house just full of money. So you're going to have
pricey equipment, lots of pot.
Yeah, it's gonna have a bullseye on it for anybody who knows about it.
I mean, in Atlanta, that's the equivalent of having like a house full of flat screen TVs just ripe for the taking, essentially. Yeah. Right, so it's a target.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. And then they also tend to have quite a lot of electrical issues, right?
Yeah.
Fires.
And
that's a big one.
Yeah, the main reason for this is that you can't. The average home is not built with this kind of an operation in mind. For instance, successful grow house operators, according to Cannabis Culture, tend to prefer 1,000-watt horticulture bulbs for each 15 to 20 plants.
And what's a normal light bulb?
Normal light bulb, incandescents run 40 to 150 watts, and your compact fluorescent light bulbs are between 9 and 52. Your average room in a house is only wired to handle about 1,000 watts. So if you're going to have multiple bulbs in one room, you're going to have to rewire it. So these guys have to basically
jerry-rig the house.
Yeah, jerry-rig the house to maintain this kind of electrical use. Plus, there's often a lot of ventilation equipment. There's extra air conditioning to help control the temperature and keep it in the margins that they want for optimal growing. So, yeah, they have to often just rewire the entire house to get this kind of situation going.
And there are definite professionals who do it.
It's true. Yeah, there are guys who go in and know exactly what they're doing and set these things up professionally for, criminal organizations or whatnot that are investing in it. But then other guys inevitably are not going to really have a clue. They're going to have as much of a clue about rewiring a house as I do.
And you may not care about that house burning down, but you will care about when your whole neighborhood burns down.
Right, yeah, because that's another side of this. Since they do use so much electricity, and since that sends out, that's just raises a red flag for law enforcement and the power companies, a lot of times they're going to pirate their power.
Right.
And that just adds even more potentially shoddy wiring into the mix that could catch that house on fire or put the rest of the neighborhood in danger from various electrical failures, electrical accidents.
And then, of course, one side of all that electricity is there's a big old carbon footprint associated with it. So you may not care about the illegality of a grow house operation, but it's pretty unfriendly to the environment.
Yeah, ironically, it's not very green.
No, it's not very green. And then you have all those hazardous chemicals like fungicides and pesticides that may be improperly disposed of and entering the community water supply.
Right. I mean, it's the same as with the electrical aspect of it. Nobody is coming in from the city or the county to make sure that the grow house is up to code. You know, it's pretty much no holds bar in terms of safety.
So let's talk about some signs that you may be, in fact, living next door to one.
Okay. Well, I think the big one, the obvious one, is the smell.
Yeah, the smell. Sort of a pungent, acrid,
Christmassy.
Like you're at
Christmas
a music
tree.
Concert type of smell.
Yeah.
You guys are probably familiar with it if you've ever been outside.
Yeah.
Encountered.
Or used public transportation.
Right. Or been to a rock concert, like mm-hmm. we said. I mean, pot is definitely out there to be smelled. So, I mean, the smell is a big one, but growers actually try to counteract it. They'll put in charcoal filters. They'll maintain that whole closed growing environment that we were talking about. And then we've even heard that they'll plant some kind of strong-smelling shrubs. Although I don't know what those would be, and that could just be something that the HBO series Weeds made up. It could be.
Yeah.
But and then
and
you
it,
have your...
It seems like it would be hard to completely overpower the pot smell of a grow house. Like it would end up
Absolutely.
Smelling like
That's a whole lot
marijuana.
Of rosemary.
And rosemary, you know, and not just lots of rosemary.
Definitely. And then you have your stereotypical weird comings and goings, although that's not necessarily going to be the case here. You have stuff like lack of house and yard upkeep. You have kids' toys lying about the, or sitting around the yard, but no kids. Where
yeah,
are the kids?
That was an interesting one that we read out of Canada. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have stuff like generator noises, because if people aren't actually pirating the electricity,
mm-hmm.
they may buy a big old honking generator that's running all the time.
Right. And, you know, owning a generator doesn't necessarily mean that you're operating a grow house, but...
Right. And none of these signs do in and of themselves.
Right. But it can be kind of suspicious if the guy in your suburban neighborhood seems to be running a large generator behind his house
all
constantly.
The time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have stuff like condensation on windows.
Yeah, now this is an interesting one for colder areas.
Right, right.
You know, lots of condensation on the windows. Or say you walk out on a snowy day,
mm-hmm.
and you look around, and every house in the neighborhood has snow all over the roof and frost, except for that one house where it's you know, completely black on the top. And that could be due to really high levels of heat throughout the house, which are essentially melting all the snow off of it.
Yeah, and then you could also have unusual amounts of steam, like above and beyond the washer-dryer type of steam you're generating from
laundry. Like they're basically smokestacks. Could be a sign to worry about. Did we mention covered windows?
No, we haven't mentioned covered windows.
There are actually two sides. One is if you see a house that seems to have lights on all the time.
Right.
You know, maybe they're just, you know, concerned about tripping over things, but maybe.
Or insomniacs.
Yeah, or insomniacs, or maybe they're growing stuff back there. A lot of places, a lot of these grow houses will cover up the windows, say with, you know, foil material.
They're kind of like plastic wrap too, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of plastic wrapped as well. So if you see that, that could potentially be a sign that there's some sort of operation going on inside. Or it could just mean that they don't like the sunlight or
afraid of government reading their thoughts.
Right, that's a big one.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. Oh, and the strange hoses. Look out for strange hoses, people. There may be some strange hoses running from, the doors.
Oh, yeah, like out of doors and windows on the outside of the house. That's kind of suspicious.
Yeah. Yeah, so those are a few of the various signs. Oh, and then, of course, if your neighborhood experiences lots of blackouts.
Yeah, that could be a sign that somebody's really sapping the power in the neighborhood.
Brownouts, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Well, the feds have some more authoritative and definitive measures of telling if you're living next door to a grow house. They can actually check the power records. And it seems like the police and the power companies are in close contact.
Yeah, they are.
And they're sharing this kind of information all the time. And power spikes are a huge indicator. So that's one thing they definitely look for.
Yeah, and also sometimes they send out guys like manually to sort of to check on the wires and see if it looks like people have been tampering with them.
And then there's also kind of the more high-tech one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, also water. Sometimes they can spot them by extreme water usage. Though, again, they sometimes try and counteract that by, like, drilling holes in the little paddles that are in the water pipes to see how much you're using.
Okay. Tell us about the high-tech one.
Oh, the high-tech. Oh,
This is pretty interesting.
Yeah,
this one's pretty
interesting. The infrared, use of infrared cameras. Because, again, this is a whole lot of heat going on in a house. So if you have an infrared camera, you can potentially see, you know, like from a helicopter, which houses are really burning, you know, with that heat. And there are a lot of issues that have been raised about this as to whether or not that's really legal, because you're essentially, you know, using X-ray vision to see inside people's houses to see what's going on.
But, yeah, a lot of people aren't cool with that for reasons of privacy.
But it's definitely one of the tools available to law enforcement.
So if you had to pick, and I'm not wishing this on you, what would it be? You have to live next to A, a crack house, B, a meth lab, or C, a grow house.
I mean, you know, none of them are really going to be good for curb appeal, but I'd probably go with the grow house.
Yeah, I definitely would after reading this.
Yeah, because the crack house, they're probably going to be dealing out of that house, and there's going to be a lot of people coming by, whereas the grow house, these tend to be places where the product is produced, not distributed.
Right, right.
So, you know, despite all the risk involved, they tend to be quiet. In fact, they tend to be a little too quiet.
Right, right. And then there's the meth lab.
And that could blow up.
Yeah, we don't want to live next to a scary blowing up meth lab. So that's about all we got for grow house operations and how to tell if your neighbor belongs on that show Weeds.
Yeah, keep your eyes peeled and your nose.
Your
open.
Nose alert.
Alert.
Yeah. If you want to read more about grow houses and various legal and illegal substances, head on over to howstuffworks.com. And we have a blog, too, the Science Stuff blog at blog.howstuffworks.com. That's all we got. Thanks for listening, guys.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Want more How Stuff Works? Check out our blogs on the howstuffworks.com homepage.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Gene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.